Well, I want to give you guys an attaboy because you did very well at the break for the first time. You know what? You guys did. You did very, very well. And we're so thankful. You have no idea how wonderful it is to have you here in worship, just as the body comes together and gives God glory. It was a whole new experience for each and every one of us, whether it was in prayer or whether the worship team, every aspect of it, the dancers. Of course, the dancers, they loved it because they had the whole floor to do whatever they wanted to do. They said, look, we don't want two rows. We want 10 rows. Get all the chairs out of our way. We're going to dance before the Lord today. And so they had free rule and reign. And of course, Lisa with food pantry downstairs, she thought she owned the whole building, and she put boxes everywhere, bags everywhere. She took over everything. You couldn't leave anything out because she just took it over. But, you know, we stayed steady. And for those of you that have been serving all the way through, thank you for the food pantry workers, for those that have kept the church amazing, and for those that have just stayed focused on it. We're so thankful because we haven't stopped feeding our neighborhood. We haven't stopped giving in a time of need. And because of your faithfulness and your kindness and your generosity, the kingdom of God has grown in the midst of a time when everybody else was drawing back. You pressed in. And that's what you've been trained for, because that's what warriors do. Amen? Every warrior is trained to run in when everybody else is running out. And that's what our lives are to be made of. And I really believe that's what God wants to do in these latter days. Because there's revival happening in many different places around the world, and it's time it happened here. Do you agree? It's only going to happen through you. Tell your neighbor it's only going to happen through you. All right. So with that, if you have your Bibles, that's wonderful. I hope you remembered you bring your Bibles to church. And when you're 3 months off, sometimes we get out of that habit. And but today, we're going to help you get back in it. And we're going to turn over to the book of Matthew in chapter 16. And we're looking at the words of Jesus, which we know we have told you guys online. We're looking at the words of Jesus. We're going to be staying in the words of Jesus for quite a while until we get it. Because in those words are life and life more abundantly. Amen? Everything about the words of Jesus transforms. Everything that he said. Because we have to remember that as we look at the word of God, it is God incarnate. He came down and he spoke to his sons and daughters. Amen? He spoke individually. He spoke to the crowds. When he spoke, those were words that came from the kingdom of eternity to the kingdom of this world. And he started to transform every single soul that came close to him. Everybody looked at his words or listened to his words, and they were changed. Now, some ran away and say, I can't handle the words of Jesus. But thank God you said, I want everything he's got. And I believe that he wants each and every one of us to live out his words, the words of power, the words of authority, the words of freedom. We sang, there's dry bones rattling. And you know, I want to encourage you that if I believe the biggest destroyer of the kingdom in any one of us is fear. I believe fear stops people. I remember fear kept me out of the church because I was afraid I didn't fit in because of the way that I was living. I didn't want to go in there and feel ashamed or guilty or anything like that. Fear stopped me from tithing in the beginning. It's like, there's no way. I've got to be in control of this. Fear, afraid of not having enough. Fear stopped me from lifting my hands. You remember when you did that the first time and you just did this? And then you went to half-mast, right? And then you went all the way up. Some of you still do the rock and the baby. Oh, this is as high as I'm going, Lord. This is all I got. All right? Every one of us, I remember being afraid of lifting a man. I remember being afraid of dancing or moving around in worship, because in the Methodist church, if you moved, you was in trouble. You were in trouble. And I believe that fear stops you, because fear stops you from believing that God loves you that much. God loves you more than you know. And he doesn't stop telling us all through his word. Pastor Romano preached last week about the love of God. Love the Lord your God and love your... Tell your neighbor, I got nothing but love for you. All right. You see, this is the issue. Fear, you know, this is what happens. Fear makes us look down when we say that. That's what happens. Some people are like, I ain't saying nothing. I want you to know, power of God's word will change all of that. That we're able to say it to people out on the street and not be afraid there anymore. To walk down and say, hey, God's got a plan for your life. Hey, what's your name? God's called you. He formed you. He's created you. And I believe that your day is now. See, when we lose that fear, everything starts to change in our lives. And I'm not teaching on that this morning, but I just couldn't help think about that with the dry bones rattling and how it's rattling and just destroying the yokes. I believe that our time is now. I don't care what the news says. Please turn that thing off. I beg you, shut it off. All of them. All of them. And just read the word for the next week. Because you'll get rid of some of your fear. That's all they feed on. They feed on fear. They feed on division. They feed on schisms. And they feed on pocketbooks when you watch them. Feed on the word of God. You'll have strength. You'll walk in power. And you won't worry. God said, be anxious for nothing. You turn on that television and you may get anxious. You start looking around at all of their narratives and the faults, the lies, all of those things that they promote just to get ratings. Can you finally get that through your head? Most of it, not all, most of it is only to get a rating. He didn't write his word to get a rating. He wrote his word to change our lives. He wrote his word so we would live freely all the days of our life. That's not what their message is. God's message is freedom. And I'm going to read that today instead. Amen? All right. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start there today. And all right. In verse 13, a very familiar passage for every single one of you here. And it says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. And I believe that there's so many things that are out there that are clamoring for everybody's attention, and we need to get rid of them all and come back to what Peter said, you are the Christ. And that means for every situation that we walk in, every issue when you feel, I don't know about tomorrow, he is the Christ. I don't know about this situation. No, he is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the one that has broken the chains. He is the one that walks with you. He is the one that never leaves you. He is the one that provides everything you have need of this world and into the next. Amen? So he is the Christ. He is the only one. And you know, we used to sing that song when we were one of the hymns, and it said that my hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And you know that man, Edward Mote, wrote that. He was taking a walk one day, and he had wrote other hymns. He was taking a walk one day, and he sat down, and he pulled out a piece of paper, and he started writing, and he just wrote the first two verses. And then he just folded them up, stuck them in his pocket. And then he kept on walking, and he got a call that there was a lady that needed prayer. And so he went to her house, and they went to pray for her because she was sick. And they started praying for her, and he started singing those first two verses because they couldn't find a hymnal. They couldn't find nothing with a song in it. So he said, hang on a second. And he pulled out this paper that he just got done writing. Can I tell you, God is a right now God. God is an on-time God. I believe there's some psalmists in here that God's calling you to write some songs. I believe that there's some in here that God is calling you to just sit there, rest in Him, relax in Him, and then start to write what He puts upon your heart. And he walked in and he sang these two stanzas to this young lady. And then she said, it was beautiful. That was gorgeous. Can you give me that song? And so he said, I have to go home first, because I have to finish writing it. I only wrote that on the way here. She said, it's beautiful. It's powerful. Here's someone on her sickbed, because one man listened to the voice of God, wrote down what God spoke to him, and in a time of need, he drew it out of the man and gave it to this young lady to help change her life. Amen? And I believe that's what God wants for each one of us. We're to press into Him and then start to write some things down, because He wants to draw it out of us. And everything He's going to draw out of us, it's going to be to change someone else's life. Everything that He's pouring into you, He's going to eventually draw out at the right time. But it's about always having your pen ready to write. Maybe yours is a prophetic word, as we had two of them this morning. It's time to stand, I believe she said. I believe it is time to stand. It's not a time to cower down. I believe it's a right now word for each one of, for the church at large. It is not a time to say, I better keep my mouth shut. If you're the one speaking truth, I want you speaking more than I want anybody else on the planet speaking. I believe it is time that when there are things going on, that you come and you speak truth. You come and you speak life. You come and you speak health. You come and you speak joy. You come and you speak deliverance. Because one of the biggest issues is the bondage that people are walking in because of a lie that was perpetrated upon them a long time ago. And therefore, when the more lies come, it just starts to gather and stirs up that lie. How many have something they had to, takes a long time to deal with when you're young? It was implanted in there, and your default was to go back there when pressure comes. Right? Did it just go away the minute you got saved? I don't know about you, but mine didn't. Mine didn't. And it took years to get to a place. Me and Pastor Romano were talking on Wednesday. We did our teaching. And you know, I really believe as we look at this, that we have idols. And I tell you, when I was sharing that, it just rose up on the inside of me, because your experience cannot be your idol, right? And we said that on Wednesday. But sometimes your painful experience, sometimes what somebody else did, whether it was a mother, a father, a grandfather, an aunt, and an uncle, a pastor, whoever it was, you've got a thought in the back of your mind that you have elevated above the Word of God. And you have said, Lord, I want to follow you. But if anybody does this, that thing trumps the Word of God. That sits above the Word of God, and you draw back. Eventually, we're going to take all of our idols and put them under the Word of God. Amen? So that when, no matter what happens, we still respond according to the Word of God. We don't respond out of pain. We don't respond out of hurt. We don't respond out of fear. We don't respond out of lack. We don't respond out of any of those things. Our response is what the Word of God says. That's what people are looking for in this world right now. They're looking for Christians that really believe that the Word of God has power. And I believe that it has power. It has power to save. It has power to heal. It has power to raise from the dead. It has power to deliver. It has power to change entire families in a moment. But we're going to have to take our idols, we're going to have to lay them down. What somebody said about you, if it wasn't according to the truth, then get rid of it and take that idol and say, Father, forgive me for hanging on to a lie. Help me to bring it under the truth, no matter what it was. Why do you think there's chaos out there now? Because people are believing a lie. It doesn't matter what side of the fence. There's lies going all around. And people can't take their idol, rip it out, and say, absolutely not. No longer will this drive me. No longer will this lead me. I have come and I have found that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have to rip out our idols. Because you can sit down and talk with people and you can find the fears. Whether it's witnessing, whether it's missions, whatever it is, you can hear it in their voice. I can't. I can't. I can't. Why can't you? Because you were told you can't. Because if nobody told you you couldn't, could you? Sure. I mean, you might not be able to, you know, play in the NBA. I mean, that goes without saying. But anything that God has called you to do, if nobody ever told you you couldn't, nobody ever told you that you were a failure or you flopped or you weren't good enough, if nobody ever told you that, how much freer would you be right now today? And I want you to know that God's ripping that out. That's that rattling that's going on. That rattling is God's trying to get it loose from the bones. That thing that you have attached it to, that you said, no, this is familiar, and this is who I really am deep inside when nobody is looking, and they'll never get to me in that part of me. God said, no. That rattling is, I'm getting rid of that stuff. You are who I said you are. And that's what Peter found out. He found out who Jesus Christ was, the Son of the living God. Is there any limit on the Son of the living God? There's none. He even rose from the dead. The greatest feat that there is, the greatest power that was ever can be expressed on the planet. Jesus Christ accomplished it. So I want to encourage you. I don't know the words that God's speaking to you. I don't know what he's been yanking on you and tugging on your heart over these last 3 months. I pray that as you've been sort of quarantined with the word of God, quarantined in the love of God, quarantined for prayer, quarantined for worship all by yourself, that was a time that you just pressed in and say, no, as for me, I will serve my God in this season. Because I believe that God said a whole lot of things to a lot of people, and now I believe it's time for you to share that with others. I believe it's time that those things that God had you write down, those things that God had spoke to your heart, he wants you to give to others. Those words are not for yourself. We've said it many times. The anointing is not for you. It's for others. Amen? And I believe that song is, it's amazing how that song is still being used in churches and still setting people free. Nothing but the blood and his righteousness. Here it is, hundreds of years later, and it's still setting people free. Because one man took a moment and wrote down something that the Holy Spirit had put in his heart. And it's still changing people's lives to this day. I want you to know the things that God's speaking to you aren't only for today, but they're for changing people's lives in the future. And don't hold back what God is giving you. Don't hold it back. I guarantee you he had no idea that we'd be singing, talking about his song in the year 2020. But God's still using it. Amen? You know, in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build. He said, I will build. There's enough tearing down going on in the world. We need to be those that build. Amen? He said, I'm going to build what? My church, I'm going to build the ecclesia. I'm going to build my body. It has nothing to do, we know that, with the building. But I'm going to build my body. Tell your neighbor, say, you are the body. Tell your other neighbor, say, you are part of the body. Right. You see, so my job is to, Jesus said, I will build. He didn't say he's going to try. You're not here because Jesus tried. You're here because Jesus built something in your life. And he said, I'm doing one thing. I'm going to build. I am a builder. I'm going to build on the chief cornerstone, which I am. And I'm not going to stop building. Can I tell you, when we get together, there's enough tearing down. Even with the sarcasm, even with the comments, there's a lot of tearing down that goes on inside the church. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, I've had enough of your tearing down. Right. Tell your other neighbor, say, it's time for you to build. Right, because Jesus said, I will build. That's what he said. He didn't say he was going to stop building. He never said that. He said, I will build. I'm going to build an entity on the planet that's going to transform every person's life that comes near it. Every person that comes in these doors, there's only one thing they should hear. God is madly in love with you. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. And it should be any person in this church walk up and say, come here, let me pray for you. The first Sunday they come in and they get, You might even get a little bit weirded out, but because of the Christ on the inside of you. But why? Because he said, that's how I'm going to build my church. My house will be a house of prayer. He said, I'm going to build my house. It's going to be a house of prayer. Prayer of faith is going to heal the sick. The prayer of faith is going to set the captive free. The prayer of faith is going to bring deliverance to those that have been in bondage most of their life. Jesus said, I'm here to build. And that's what we need to do. We come back together. Listen, you know, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, there was 20. 3 weeks ago, there was 40. 2 weeks ago, there was 80. I like the way that God builds. Amen? He's building his church. You are part of the ecclesia. The only thing we're allowed to do when we leave here, whether they know Jesus Christ or not, is we walk out of here and we start to build. We find something good. Tell your neighbor something good about them. Come on, say something good about them. All right, now tell the person on the other side something good about them. Come on, tell them something. Larry, you better tell me something good about myself. I'll be waiting all day, Larry. I'll be waiting. All right, thanks, Larry. You see, it's so easy. Jesus said, and how much does that build? You know what? You know what was the most beautiful thing when I asked you to do that? Every single person started to smile. Now, mainly because it made you feel uncomfortable. Because if I told you, hey, give them a jab, you get that little... The lip goes up, down, you get that... You get that attitude that comes. But I say, hey, say something kind. The flesh says, this is going to be difficult. Hang on, I got to think for a minute. Some husbands and wives are like, coming up empty. But thank God for the word of God, because we can speak the word of God over one another. Amen? And we can build one another up in what? The scripture says, the most holy faith. So it's going to have to be words of faith that are coming out of our mouth. Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm building my house. And what he said is, I'm building my family. And we're the family of God. And we're building the family of God. So no matter how they responded, he said, look, if they treat you in horrible ways, don't treat them that way. If they curse you out, just love on them. Just build them. There's a reason why they're responding to you in a wrong way. They was trained wrong. You're to train them the right way. You're to build them in the right way. When he said, I will build, he said, I'm going to edify them. I'm going to edify the church. And it means in a literal sense, and how everybody here knows that in order to build something, it's going to take some effort. It's effort to say some kind words sometimes. It's effort to take time out of your life. If we're not going to give ourselves to the kingdom of God, then we're going to limit what God can do through us. And he's going to use somebody. And if you won't give your time, and if I won't give my time, and if I won't give my effort to build, he's going to find somebody else that loves him enough to build. Amen? That's what it boils down to. He's going to find someone who fell so in love with him that they cannot help but build the ecclesia or build his family, make his family bigger. You know, we found out not long ago that in October we're going to have another grandbaby. And can I tell you, I love it when my children make our family bigger. Yeah. I love it. I hope they all just don't stop for years to come. Just keep having them. All right? Don't be shaking your head, no. We're building. You're here to build. All right? Enhance. Expand. Add to. It means to instruct and improve the mind in knowledge, in morality, and in religious understanding, in faith, and in holiness. That's what Jesus said, I'm going to do. So everything a part of us is going to have to come and grab a hold of that and realize, look at faith and holiness are things that I'm going to have to build. They don't come naturally. They come supernaturally. Because faith is supernatural, amen? Faith is always supernatural. You try to stir it up, and faith is for right now. And Lord knows we need faith for what's going on in our country and around the world. There's a lot of faith that we need, but I believe that the Bible says that if two or three agree as touching anything, we'll have what we pray. Amen? And so therefore, when we get ready to close in prayer today, I believe that we're going to pray and transformation is going to come to people's lives, not only in our county, but in the surrounding counties and other places, because I believe the power of the Word of God still goes forward and never returns void, and I believe it's enough to change people's hearts, even today. We need to edify one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. We need to teach or persuade one another. We need to strengthen or to make strong. To build, it means to strengthen or to make strong. To confirm. Now, we're not going to do confirmation classes, okay? But it means to confirm one another. Confirm them in what? In the Word of God. Hey, this is what I see in you. Here's the gift that I see in you. Here's the calling I believe is on your life. Here's an opportunity for you to reach out and build the kingdom of God or build the body of Christ. So to confirm one another and build each other up. And we see that in Deuteronomy 3:28, and it says, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go across at the head of his people, and he will give them as an inheritance the land which you will see. And I believe that God wants to give each one of us the land that we see. Wherever you walk, he wants to give it to you. But you're going to have to get strengthened to walk out in it. Because it may look scary, but it's not. It's not scary. Not when you know that Christ goes before you and he's your rear guard. Then you know that he's able, even when you're not. And in Matthew 16:19, he said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And we know that Jesus is the key to the kingdom of heaven, and then we've received all authority and power through him. Amen? We know that Acts 4:12, it says, no other name is given among men by which we must be saved. And therefore, we know that at that name, every knee is going to bow, and we know that our sins are washed away through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I've already given them to you. All authority and power is yours. Tell your neighbor, say, I've got it. Right. He's going to give you the keys. This is what Jesus wanted. He wanted you to have the keys to unlock every door. What door? The door to people's hearts. Has nothing to do with any buildings. It has nothing to do with anything that's natural on the face of this planet. It has everything to do with things that are supernatural. It has everything to do with opening up the hearts of people. And we see that in Peter's life. Through Peter, the faithful proclamation of the gospel, Peter opens the doors to the kingdom in different places. In Acts chapter 2, it's Peter who preaches in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were swept into the kingdom of God, Jewish people. So we see the Jewish people are brought into the kingdom of God, a key that unlocked the hearts to the Jewish people. And then in Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans believe the gospel. They receive the Holy Spirit. And again, Peter, along with John, people are baptized in the Holy Spirit and are swept in. So here, the scripture is breaking that racial divide between Jews and Samaritans. The word of God is preached by Peter. People come into the kingdom of God. It's a key that opened up their hearts when he preached Christ. Because Christ is a universal key. Christ is the power, the key has the power to transform every single person on the planet. And he's given it to you. He said, you have the freedom to use his name. He said, you need a healing? Use my name. Because at my name, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. Every disease, every sickness. Can I tell you, there's more than just the diseases that attack the natural body. There's diseases that are destroying minds. And it's a disease that's running rampant around our country that was built by man, not by God. Because we see here with Peter, Jesus broke down when he went and he met the Samaritan woman. And he shared with her, he says, you're right, he's not your husband. You've had five husbands and this one isn't your own. So Jesus broke through from the Jewish side to the Samaritan side. That's what the key does. It opens hearts. And it doesn't matter who you come in contact with. That key is an eternal key. That key is the most powerful key. That key is greater than any key to any city you'll ever be given. It's a key that will destroy yokes, bondages. It will go in and it will find that hurting, that area where that heart is so damaged, and it will bring health into that heart. So once again, it can love purely. It can live freely. It'll start to transform the power of each and every one. But somebody has to bring the key. And that's you. You're the bearer of the key that unlocks every heart on this planet. You have that key in the name of Jesus. And in Acts 10, we see Peter again. He brings the gospel to the Roman centurion's house. He brings it to the centurion's house, and it sets the centurion free. It sets his family free. Everything starts to change because Peter brings the key. He said, hey, here's the key to the kingdom. Cornelius already said, hey, we heard you had the key. Oh, that people would come to your house and say, I heard you have the key. We're reminded many times that when Finney walked through Troy into the factory, people would just start crying out, have mercy, have mercy. He never preached at that moment. He just walked through, but the presence of God was so strong. They could see the key that he was carrying. And it was a key to unlock the hardness of the hearts. Can I tell you, that's what brings division in our lives, is either the pain or the hardness of our heart. Sometimes after a while, pain gets so great, we build a shield and it becomes a rock. And we don't want anybody getting through. And then somebody tells us about the love of Jesus. And our heart starts to melt. And we start to wonder, can somebody love me this much? I want you to know your God loves you that much. We love you dearly. But we don't even come close to the way that God loves you. We can try. We can hang banners. We can hug your neck. We can walk alongside of you. Whether it's a time when babies are being born or grandparents are going home to be with Jesus, or, and everything in between there, we can walk alongside and we can strengthen you, but there's nobody that's going to love you the way that he does. And Peter found that out. He said, you're the Christ. You're the key to every good thing on this planet. You're the key that can change people's lives. And I believe that that's what God wants to do with us. You're the one that's carrying the key. You're the one that's carrying the key. But it's time to expose that key. It's time to speak about that key. It's time to take that key out of hiding. How many people have walked around and never led anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to encourage you. That key is so powerful that even if you have never led anybody to Christ, I'm so excited. Where's Ashley? Did she? There she is. Ashley talked to one lady at the hospital. They started doing a little Bible study together. And then another lady came walking in and said, what are you doing? They said, we're doing a little Bible study. And she said, well, I want to. She sat down doing a Bible study. Another lady walked by and said, hey, so what are you guys doing? Just sitting talking? She said, oh, no, we're doing a Bible study. Oh, she said, I want some of that. Led two of them to Christ right there in that little Bible study just because somebody took out their Bible at work. And said, I believe I got the key, baby, to everybody in this hospital. Not only to set them free, but to heal every sickness in there. Because that's what I'm expecting your Bible study to do. Room to room, watching them walk out of there healed in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the key that we have. Amen? If you believe that this morning, stand up. Tell your neighbor, say, I will build. Tell your neighbor, say, I have the key. Tell your other neighbor, I have the power that key says I have. Amen. Life-giving power lives on the inside of everyone here. No matter where you go, life-giving power is going before you, preparing the hearts. You have the key. Peter had no idea how to preach. He knew how to run his mouth. That's all you need. But instead of your words, now it's the words of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because when you speak his word, everything starts to come. everything starts to change. Not long before that, Jesus said, "Hey, get behind me, Satan." That's a tough word from the King of Glory. Amen. Not long after that, Peter said, "Hey, I wanted to tell you about the key that I found. 3,000 swept into the kingdom." That's the power that you possess. That's the God that loves you. And he didn't say, "Hey, you're not tall enough, you're not short enough, you're not young enough, you're not old enough, you're not smart enough, you don't have enough." And that's everything that the enemy says in order to try to get you to draw back. But I believe that God's calling us to press in right now. This time in this season, take the word out. Here's my sword. I'm going to talk about one key today, and his name is Jesus. What did Paul say? "I come to know nothing. Come to agree, I don't know anything but Christ and him crucified." That's enough, amen? That's enough. You've got the key to every heart on this planet. He's in you. He's in you. Let's take the key and let's go transform somebody's life this week. I will build. I will build. I will build. I will build. Enough tearing down. I will build. I will build. I will build the ecclesia. I'll build the kingdom of God. I'll build. Listen, you'll have a chance as soon as I get done praying to tear down. Don't take the bait. You know the enemy's out there fishing. Ah, come on. Come on, take it. Take it. Ah, got him. Got him. Got him. Say the same thing, the word says over those that are around you. Build. 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 That's all you're allowed to do. When you walk out of here, you're only allowed to build. Let the world tear it down. But you go set them free because of the power of Christ on the inside of you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today and we thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we're so thankful for the revelation in each one of our hearts that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you said you've come to live in us. Father, thank you for the authority in the kingdom, all authority, all power living on the inside of us. Fear, get out in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said it was that name. It was that name that could drive out fear, because you said that name showed us what perfect love looked like. And Father, we agree that you love us. Father, we speak to every heart that's been broken in the name of Jesus. Those that have been pained, those that have used their yesterdays as an idol and lifted it above the word of God. Those that said, "I identify with what mere man has said rather than what my king has said." Father, we speak to them idols. Go in Jesus' name. Loose them in the name of Jesus. No longer are there any failures in the body of Christ. No longer are there those that are rejected in the name of Jesus Christ. For you said anyone that calls upon your name. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Father, today, I thank you that the moment we called upon your name, Father, you are already there waiting, looking for an opportunity to fill us, transform us, strengthen us, build us, and renew our minds through the power of your word. Today, Father, we thank you for the victory that we have in the name of Jesus. No longer are we deficient. No longer are we subservient, for you have called us friends, as it was preached last week. You have taken us from servants and called us friends, sons and daughters, infused all authority and power, and said, "Go, for the whole world is a place where you can walk, and I'll provide. And you'll change lives by the power of my word." Father, we're so thankful we don't have to stand on our word, but we get to stand on yours. We will build your house everywhere we go in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, right now, if there's anyone out there listening that has never accepted Jesus Christ, I just want you to agree with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come and be the Lord of my life. I surrender. I turn from the way that I was living. And now I make you, I place you as my Lord and my Savior upon the throne of my heart. Father, we rebuke every lie and every curse over every individual, over every family in that name. And we thank you that we get to walk in it today through the power of your love. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, God bless you. And listen, I will build into someone else's life this week. Come on, let's go find somebody to love in the name of Jesus.